No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Battle of the Sexes. I am your host, Nikki Bernal. Dave Swan is actually in Cleveland visiting his family. So we have a fill-in host today that is just showing up right here with our second guest. Our fill-in host for the day is Chris Dunham. Give it up for Chris Dunham. Yeah. And in walked in one of our lovely special guests, the newly redhead Amy, Nicole Amy Schreiber.
Schreiber.
It's okay. Sorry. It is a very Jewy last name. How appropriate is it that I'm Catholic and I pronounced it wrong? So that's fine. And across the table, one of my favorite comics. I'm excited to talk to him today. The hilarious Earl Skakel.
What's up?
Earl the Pearl.
Earl the Pearl.
What's going on?
How are you guys doing today?
I'm good.
Chris, you got to get close to me. Love your neighbor.
Okay.
God, Chris just gave me like this awkward bro space between me right now.
Are your glasses, are these messing with your glasses right now or is it just me?
I think it's just you.
Oh
so,
my God.
So this is round 10, Battle of the Spectacular. And Nicole Amy is already complaining that the microphones are bugging her glasses.
The headphones are bugging my
glasses. That's the Jew in her.
Yeah. Everything's bothering me.
Well, you just won the first secret challenge of today.
Yeah.
Which was the first to adjust or complain about their glasses.
Was it?
Yes. So one point already for Nicole.
Racking it up, guys. Racking it up.
Well, we're going to have some fun today. First, I want to talk to you both about your careers, where you're coming from. Give the guests a little bit of background about you guys. Also, if any listeners want to call in and you are a fan of either of these comics, you can call in live at 1-800-893-9562.
Look at the phone lines are already blown up.
I know. Start texting your mom.
Oh, just kidding. Everyone.
Well, first of all, Nicole, I've had a couple opportunities to work with. I think you're hilarious. I love your comedy style.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you're from Detroit.
I am from Detroit.
Born and raised, right?
The D, born and raised. Then I got out of there. I don't know if I can ever go back. I mean, it's a great town to visit. It's a great town to grow up in, but what else do you do there?
So how was family life in Detroit? I know a lot of people either have like, oh, I love Detroit, or other people are like, oh, I'm scared of Detroit.
I mean, it's scary. I mean, I don't live in a part of Detroit that's the scary, scary part.
Right.
I am just outside of Detroit. I'm Southfield, Birmingham area.
Okay.
But if you go into the inner city, I mean, it's not a pleasant place.
Really?
In parts. Other parts, there's a lot of urban renewal going on in Detroit.
A like lot gentrification.
Of rebuilding. Yeah, for gentrification. They like to call it urban renewal.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's the polite way of saying
rich white people are coming downtown and building stuff up. That's what's happening. It's essentially what's happening. There's a lot of waterfront development because it's on a river.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and it's right next to Windsor, Ontario. That's Canada for those of you who don't know.
I don't. I've never actually been outside of the country other than to Mexico.
Oh, really? Well, that's not even going outside of the country. Mexico is basically just an extension of California, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an extension of El Paso, Texas, which is the armpit of Texas. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a little lower down on the body of, if you're going to say it's the armpit. I feel like there's other parts of Texas. El Paso's really, I don't know. That was a weird town.
That's where I started comedy.
Oh, really?
In El Paso, Texas.
What a weird place to start comedy.
It was the only place to start comedy. I'm from Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Yeah.
We had
that
no
means,
comedy.
That means crosses?
Lots of crosses.
That's what it means, Las Cruces?
Yes, the crosses.
Listen, I'm learning Spanish.
See, you're already a better Spanish person than I am.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm so dumb. I didn't even know that Juarez was directly across from El Paso.
Yeah,
Juarez. I just looked at the comic strip. I was out back going, to the server. I was like, that's such a beautiful view. And she goes, no, it's not. That's
She's like,
Juarez.
Literally, right now, there's someone being beheaded.
Yeah.
Have you performed in El Paso before, either of you?
No. Albuquerque.
Okay. Well, Juarez, you can see the houses in the distance as you're driving by, and it looks like Candyland because they're all painted like fluorescent colors. Mm-hmm. But the closer you get, it's actually like cardboard shacks that have been spray painted.
Yeah, they don't have paint there. They only have spray paint.
Yes.
You only get a few options.
So you mentioned that you're Jewish. How was the Jewish upbringing in Detroit?
Jewish upbringing in Detroit was, I was in a private school that did not have a lot of Jewish kids. I was one of a handful of Jews.
Okay.
And my mom always called me the queen of the shiksas, which is a shiksa is a non-Jewish girl in Yiddish. So I wasn't really, I don't know, I mean, people out here consider me Jewy, but they don't even know a Jew if they think I'm Jewy.
Right.
Because there are some Jewy Jews out there.
You're like, I drive my car on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in LA and you want to see a truly Jewy Jew, go to like Fairfax, La Brea,
Pico
Beverly
area
or Pico area. Well, there's two parts. There's the Borscht Belt and then there's the Hummus Belt. And the Hummus Belt is Pico and Robertson. And then the Borscht Belt is like Fairfax and Beverly. So there's two separate groups of Jews. There's Russian, Sephardic, Ashkenazi Jews, and then the Sephardic Jews, which are in Pico.
Yeah.
Did I just get a ha ha ha?
No, it was a whoa.
Yes, evil. Very evil people. They discriminate. They only like Jews. Jews usually only like Jews. That's what bugs me about Jews. But I feel like there's a lot of minority groups out there where they only like their minority group.
Well, we're glad that you're a Jew that likes other people that aren't Jews.
I am an equal opportunity friender. Is that even? No.
A
thing.
I might be.
Are you Jewish?
I was raised Catholic.
Catholic raised.
Yeah.
I mean, you are Jewish, but raised Catholic.
Yeah, my mom's last name was Weinman. So.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Well, happy high holiday to both of you.
Oh, thank you. He has the astigmatism of a Jew, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. I haven't seen astigmatism like that since my grandpa.
It's pretty beat.
Yeah, it's pretty.
He's intense. Still rocking it. You're still rocking Make It Look Good, Earl.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, guy from Weezer who works out.
Bringing it back old school.
Yeah. Is Weezer old school?
To most of the kids nowadays, wow. It is.
It's crazy.
See, for the longest time I've known you, you've had long hair.
Yeah. You had the long, curly locks.
I love it. I love short hair.
Yeah, short hair is great on you.
I mean, I auditioned for Sons of Anarchy as a white supremacist, so I did.
Oh, nice.
Cut the hair. I didn't get it, so.
Earl's looking like a really cool lumberjack right now.
Yeah, it's a different look. See what happens.
Earl, would you ever be a lumberjack?
It doesn't pay enough.
No?
That's the Jew in me.
Comedy pays enough?
Not really. Well, you know, I've got some outside businesses.
Speaking of outside businesses and education, you went to University of Michigan?
Yep.
Michigan. And you studied pre-med and art history.
Yeah, I was an art history major, a theater minor, and I was pre-med on top of all of that.
And when did you decide I don't want to go to medical school?
As soon as I started doing my pre-med classes. I was like, this is not going to happen. But I had to do it because I started it, so.
Yeah.
You're like, it's just I have not to for everybody. It. It's hard. You have to really want to be a doctor, and I just feel like it's not a profession you want to half-ass.
Right.
Or do without doing it wholeheartedly. I mean, I wouldn't want a doctor who is like, you know, I would want a doctor who's like, yes, this is all I've ever wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want a doctor who, there's a lot of doctors who also think they're stand-up comedians, but I would never want a doctor who's like, I never pursued my real passion of being a stand-up comedian. Instead, I'm stuck with this shitty job.
That's hilarious.
Like, don't, yeah.
I heard something about University of Michigan. I want to ask you, because I've seen YouTube videos. I don't know if either of you have seen this, but during finals week, there's a group of students that are like renegades for Michigan, and they'll pull pranks through the classes. Had you ever seen that?
No.
Yeah, you'll have to look it up on YouTube. Like, they'll dress in Pac-Man suits and stuff and run through the libraries like they're...
Oh, that's really funny. And they're chasing ghosts?
Yeah.
And ghosts are chasing Pac-Man and Pac-Man's chasing the ghosts.
This dude in a big Pac-Man costume was running through the library and waka, 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 as people are like trying to study just to break up the monotony of finals week.
Yeah, that's clever. I could see that happening at Michigan. I could see that happening at any university, but Michigan's a really awesome campus.
I've heard that
Ann Arbor's
before.
Really cool. There's a lot of comedy in Ann Arbor too. I didn't know that when I was going to school there because I was too busy studying.
So you didn't start comedy in Michigan?
No, I started out here. Okay. I started about 4 years ago.
So when did you move to LA?
12 years ago.
Okay. And when you moved here, were you already in your marketing job that you're doing right now?
No, I mean, I do freelance marketing now, but when I moved here, I was like, oh, I'm going to be an actor.
Yeah.
And then I got a waitressing job and then I got fired from and I was like, ugh, I hate waitressing. Who doesn't hate waitressing? It's awful. It's torture. And when you're young and you have a stick up your ass about the college that you went to, and, you know, I was like, I was going to be a doctor. I'm so beyond this.
Where were you waitressing at?
A restaurant, a very fancy restaurant in Santa Monica.
Oh, okay.
Which is no longer.
Which one?
Olive Garden?
I'm not even going to say the name because she has other restaurants. And she was such a bitch to me, the woman who owned it, that I wouldn't even... I don't even want people to know the name of her restaurant so she can have more business.
No more free promo.
Nothing. No, I don't even... any press is good press as far as I'm concerned. I don't even want to give that to her. I got fired for correcting the owner's English.
Are you kidding me?
No. She was like...
I was just trying to be helpful.
I was like, look, you sounded like an idiot. Because they were making fun of a customer had written a handwritten letter.
Okay.
About a complaint he had had, an old, terrible experience that he and his wife had had.
Obviously before they had Yelp.
Before they had Yelp. This was just, you know, handwritten complaints. Actually, you know what? Yelp was around at the time. So he was just an older man who didn't know how to use the internet.
Yeah.
So he writes this letter. They're reading it aloud, making fun of his English. And what he had said was right. I don't remember what it was, but what he had said was right. And they were like, oh, you idiot. It was one of those instances of, is it... him and I, him and me. It's supposed to be him and me.
You just couldn't stand the typos and the grammatical errors.
But I was just listening to them making fun of this guy, and I was like, actually, he's right. You guys are wrong. And then I gave them the grammatical rule as to why he's right. And they're like, all right, little Miss English major.
Well, I think you sealed your deal with every restaurant in the city now that's listening.
Yeah, totally. But you know what? I didn't reveal the name, so if someone else fires me, I will not give you any free business.
Well, Earl is actually one of the fortunate few. You're talking about fancy restaurants in this area. You were born and raised here in Bel Air?
In the hills of Bel Air.
That's awesome.
I mean, you know, it's worse neighborhoods.
Yeah. That's a nice area to at least grow up in as a kid. And was it fun for you growing up in that area?
Well, you know, it was weird because we were the poorest people in Bel Air. I mean, my dad bought the house in the 60s when... Bel Air really wasn't any nicer than any other neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then there was the famous Bel Air fire.
Oh, that's right.
Which burnt down every home but ours.
Oh, you're kidding?
Really?
Basically, there may have been one or two.
Was your dad just standing in the front yard, just like hosing it down?
Pretty much.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
And, but our neighbors ended up being billionaires, Stallone, Kareem,
oh, wow.
OJ.
So the houses burned down and all the celebrities just came on in and built up houses.
So we weren't, you know, when people hear I was born in Bel Air, they just think,
oh, you have money. Yeah.
I mean, we're not.
I don't even know where that is in relation to Beverly Hills.
Like, it's just east of, west of west. Beverly Hills. West.
Haven't you seen Fresh Prince of Bel Air?
Yeah, but they don't really show you.
No, I'm just joking with you, Chris.
Yeah, there were no black people in Bel Air when I was there. I mean, there really weren't. Are there now? Well, yeah, rappers and athletes.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, my dad's country club, there was one black member out of 900.
Oh, wow. What country club?
Well, maybe I shouldn't say the country club.
See, we're not talking names. No free promo, remember?
Yeah, no free promo? Oh.
For there, but, you know, it was...
Because everyone's going to run out and go try to get a membership there.
Well, yes. They probably couldn't afford it.
But, and like, what high school is out there, though?
I went to Notre Dame out in the valley.
See, it was funny because when I was doing research on you, somebody said you went to Notre Dame University.
I wish.
Yeah. And I was like, I think it was.
Did
Notre
you go
Dame
to university?
No, I farted around at SMC for, you know, a couple of years. And I don't think school's for me.
Now, I think what we really want to know is, how did you grow up a Steelers fan?
My dad was best friends with Art Rooney, the Art Rooney.
Okay, that's incredible.
So every year we would get a game used Super Bowl ball autographed by the whole team.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That's right. In the 70s?
That's incredible.
That must have been amazing.
And I lost all the balls.
No way.
When you think about it, they had 11 Hall of Famers from that team.
Right.
Which is unbelievable that half your starters ended up in the Hall of Fame. So God knows what each of those balls would be worth.
Where did you lose them?
You know, I remember a couple of them.
Where did you lose your balls, Earl? Yeah.
Oh, a long time ago. 2000, I lost those. So, yeah, that's the crazy thing. I would play with them against a brick wall in my yard with the autographs, you know.
Big deal.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a kid, you don't realize the
value.
This is like the football version of Sandlot.
Yeah.
Like, you also didn't realize, you know, that there was be something called eBay one day when you got those.
Or just sports collect. I mean, I have so many autographed things from Art Rooney, which are very rare because he never signed any. I mean, he was,
yeah.
That's what I think is really awesome about that family, especially is keeping the organization within the family.
Yeah.
You know, and how many head coaches have they had now? Four?
Just four in like four. 40, 50 years.
That is absolutely amazing. Do you guys realize, like in football, pro sports, coaches get turned over like every 2 years?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You know? So, and to have a black head coach is, you know, they were one of the.
And at that he was time, also yeah. at the. Yeah. I think he was actually younger than. He was the youngest head coach of all time before they hired.
During that season?
Remember. No. When he got hired, he was not only the first black coach of the Steelers, but also the youngest head coach.
He's like 37.
Except Cowher.
So he was like the trifecta at that point.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome, man.
Black coaches aren't in abundance in the NFL. Yeah. You'd think they would be.
I just want to talk football now. So how do you feel when they say, oh, they're playing Steeler football, and Steeler football doesn't even resemble Steeler football anymore?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not the Steeler football I grew up with. But, yeah.
Guys, I'm going to just, what?
Be a girl.
I don't know
where are the Steelers from?
Pittsburgh.
That I know. You just made me feel so much better.
I don't know anything about football. I used to manage a sports bar, and I know nothing about football.
I played softball when football season was going on, so we never watched even our college games.
Yeah.
And we had the worst college football team in ESPN's sports history my senior year in college. It was ranked the lowest ranked college football team among any JCs, D2s, and we were D1.
Right.
But we were still the worst, according to ESPN.
Well, that's, I mean, you know, let's start talking about what comics we slept with. Let's get it.
So I was going to pull out just a scroll.
A scroll.
No, I think Dunham's Comedy Vita.
No, not at all.
Well, I heard a rumor, too, that you were, it's funny that you're mentioning sexual partners in comedy. I heard a rumor that your family wanted you to become a priest.
Well, I was such a good student in grade school that I would get sent to a seminary.
No way. Your parents sent you to a seminary.
Well, it was like a joint venture with the nuns at the grade school. And I think the seminary said, well, pick two guys who would be, you know, good candidates.
Right.
Pick me and some other dude. And we went away. It's like San Fernando Mission. And it was like total Jerry Sanduskyville. I mean, these priests were out.
And your mom was Jewish and she was down with all this?
She didn't really care as long as I was like the last of five kids. So
then she just gave up.
She was like, you know, don't drink, don't smoke. I'll get you a car when you're 18.
Little did they know that their little priest that they wanted to be a priest would become this rock loving, just
womanizer.
But he
still doesn't smoke or drink.
But doesn't smoke, do drugs or drink.
Never.
Really?
Yeah. Never had a drink or drug.
You know, a lot of great comics don't because they're like Dane Cook used to say that he was already on level 10, that he would hate to see what he would be like on alcohol or drugs. And he's never had a drink or had a drug in his entire life either.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm afraid I'd like it. So like I pound energy drinks like there's no tomorrow.
But even as a kid, like how do you make that choice in high school when your friends are trying to hand you, you know, a bottle of beer? You're going, oh, I'm scared I might like it at 17 and I might get addicted to it.
I mean, I've been around drugs my whole life. I never once was tempted.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a temptation thing because, like, I, you know, like I smoked pot in high school, but drinking just never did it for me. I mean, I just beer tastes awful, just terrible. Like, you've actually never even tasted beer?
It's no, because the smell is disgusting.
Disgusting. It's disgusting. I mean, you know, vanilla. I always look at things like vanilla. Vanilla smells so amazing and tastes terrible. So I always think, like, what if something smells terrible and tastes terrible?
Amazing.
Oh. And tastes amazing. And that's how I always thought beer would be. Because I'm like, oh, well, why would everyone love it so much? Like, why would they make alcohol-free beer?
Right.
Like, somebody must love the taste.
Right.
Well, alcohol-free beer is for alcoholics. Yeah. Those are the only ones buying that.
Well, it's like a cigarette, though, too, because cigarettes smell and they taste horrible.
Yeah.
But people smoke them regularly. It's more the feeling that they give you.
Yeah.
Like a beer. You drink a beer.
Coffee.
And,
come on. Coffee. Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, I look at someone drunk and I'm like, you're terrible. You're just falling apart.
But they don't see themselves the same way you're seeing them at that time.
But I mean, at some point when you see a drunk person, don't you like, I don't know, second guess drinking at some point? I mean, it's so... Mm.
Well, I just think it's cool the fact that you grew up loving rock so much and you live in that area where like the Rainbow Room is and the Viper Room, and you've probably seen some like great concerts and been backstage and haven't been pressured. That's high five to you for, you know, standing your ground.
I mean, you know, I'm a pretty strong-willed person, so.
Obviously.
He goes to the gym 7 days a week.
Yeah.
He's so. Like, sex is my drug. That's all I'll use.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying I get laid that much, but, you know, I do okay for myself.
My favorite profile picture on your Facebook was the one where you had the I guess, suit jacket open up, and it had the Superman thing. It's like, if Earl wants to sleep with your woman, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I didn't really. The guy put that in there on his own.
That was funny, though.
You know, I'm not that.
A self-proclaimed
type of an ego.
Master of all vagina.
I mean, you know, I have a lot of repeat business, but, you know.
That's most important.
Well, my mom told me one thing about sex. The only thing she told me is make the girl happy first and they'll always come back.
That's
your mom really told you that?
Oh, yeah. And she was a strange person.
Oh, the sexy girls for real.
I mean, it's true. I'm sure Chris can vouch for me.
He's like looking at you like you're just on the same level sexual wavelength.
But I don't get, you know, I mean, I don't kiss and tell, but, you know, my mom was right. And the few girls that I maybe didn't handle the best way in bed, I've never heard from them again. So
you didn't have to worry about it anyway.
It's also because most guys in bed, you know, they're selfish.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Selfish, you know, and so. Yeah, if you actually, I don't know, are just other directed, just in life in general, especially in the bedroom, girls are like, oh my God, he didn't take his hand and put it on his hand on his penis?
I'm a little bit of a prude, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I'm sure if you could go back with anyone from your past, you would pick a guy who took care of you.
Oh, for sure. I'm not saying I haven't had a certain number of sexual partners. Like, I've just been never really creative in the bedroom. Like, I'm not saying I'm only doing, like, missionary. I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this, by the way. But no, I'm...
What's missionary?
You mean, like, dress up?
No. I've never done, like, the costumes or brought, like, lubes or
You've
oils.
Never done role play?
No.
Really?
No. I can barely talk dirty in bed. Like, that's difficult for me because I was raised very Catholic. Right. To the point where, like, you're not cussing. You're not even saying the word suck. My mom used to hate it if we said the word suck. She would be like, don't say that word. And I would be like, why not? It doesn't mean anything. And she's like, yes, it does. It means suck big. And I was like, you're just making it nasty.
Yeah. Sucking a lollipop. Okay.
Yeah.
That can be sexy.
Yeah.
Well, so I was.
Do you
want
to sexualize a piece of candy? You go right ahead.
But probably the most sexual piece of candy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean.
But no, I you're absolutely right. I would probably go sleep with someone again that I had a connection with, that treated me well.
And the connection was also good sex. Would you sleep with someone that was horrible in bed, but you didn't, but you had a great connection?
That's
with
a catch 22 because I can't sleep with someone that's a bad kisser. They could be great in bed, but it's going to ruin the mood for me if they kiss me and it's disgusting.
Well, to me, that all kind of goes together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, if you're good in bed, you're good at all the things under the umbrella. Yeah.
But that's also what makes, not at all like super romantic, but.
Get romantic.
Great sex to me is a conversation without words.
Right.
Yeah. You know, when you guys just, it's like you don't even have to say anything. It just flows.
Mm. Preach.
Oh, I know.
God, we're getting all sentimental here.
Anyway, that's it.
I'm getting wet. I don't know about sentimental.
Earl just flipped his hand over. No, and I never like saw you as a Casanova. In the times that we've worked together, you've always been super respectful. Like, I think you're a gentleman.
Okay, you just said something really funny. You're like, I've never seen you as a Casanova because you've always been super respectful.
Yes.
And it's like, why is it that a man has to be kind of inappropriate?
Well, no, it's not like, okay, because at the time when I met Earl, he was single. I was single. Maybe I wasn't your type, but
you are, actually.
Oh, thank you.
What are you doing after?
Hey.
Do you have a pulse? He's into you.
I know. But no, he never like said anything to the effect of, oh, we should hang out sometime or, you know, hit me up if you're ever in the area to do a show. He just kind of was like, it was a pleasure working with you. I hope we get to work together again sometime. And he was just nice. He was like, oh, I had fun working with you. Never like putting his hand on my back or like like inappropriate.
We should write together.
Oh, yeah.
Oh God.
I heard that. That's
when I started comedy, I got that and I fell for it once. And after that, I was like, yeah, I see what's up. You want to help me with my comedy, do you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, their dick will be out by the first punchline.
Yeah, not even.
If there is a punchline.
I was on my like fifth bad, terrible premise.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, that's good. But you want to know what's better? My dick.
You in my bed right now. But no, you were just always really nice. And I just think you're a great guy, Earl.
Well, I mean, you know, there's different kinds of Casanovas. There's the ones who are just, it's a numbers game and you just plow through as many as you can.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite.
You're a quality, not quantity.
Well, I used to be that way, but now I'm probably more confident. Just, you know, comedy gives you confidence, I think.
You've been a relationship type person too.
For the most part, yeah. So.
Well, also, I don't know about you. Like, as soon as I got into my 30s, at least, I was just like, quality was just so much more important to me. You know, actually having that connection or something like that, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, because what's the point? Like, have you guys ever, like, literally, like, there's someone, like, you can call, text, whatever, and you're just like, it's not even worth the trouble?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's pretty much every single person in my life right now. Like, I'm probably talking to, like, five different guys right now, and I couldn't care less about any of them.
I've never been able to do that, though. I don't know why. I was never a good dater. I could never date like five guys at a time because I don't have that emotional, I guess, turpitude to like handle all of it.
I mean, I'm not dating all of them per se, but like, you know, I'm like talking to them, like tossing around the idea of like going out, doing something, hooking up, getting a dick pic. I don't know, whatever.
Which I know what kind you look for.
I've already got your dick pic.
Yeah. That's a great picture.
I know. Everyone's seen it.
Well, two people put it on Instagram an hour after I...
Oh, my God.
Well, that's why you
wear the wrestler shorts, right, at the Comedy Store, so they can at least get an idea of what's inside the package.
Well, I mean, I have a dick pic because Jeff Richards once asked me what my ex-girlfriend's private parts look like, and I thought, God, that's kind of a rude... Jeff's a great guy, but you know, I was like, that's kind of an inappropriate question. So I sent him a picker of me.
A picker of your pecker.
You know, so that's why it's on the phone. And then I just started showing it to people because it is a great picture.
It's fantastic.
Every guy needs one good dick pic.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend that I'm not curious right now. I'm going to I'm not curious.
I mean, it's on my phone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we could give you...
It's on everybody's phone. Let me phone a friend.
Thanks.
But I've shown it to more guys than girls because I like going up to like big... Like Chris D'Elia, I went up to him the other night and said, hey, you know, I know you're real successful and you know what it takes to make it in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Can I show you my new headshots, man? And then I showed it to him and just... I like the reactions.
That's hilarious. He's another one that doesn't drink or do drugs either.
Yeah, and he does quite well with the ladies, but he's very on the DL about it. I think the real good ones are the ones who don't talk about it.
I don't know if it's on the DL that much, though. Like, it's funny, because I'm friends with Chris, and I love Chris. It was hilarious, because when he started getting really big once Whitney started airing, I had a friend in Florida one time message me on Facebook and be like, do you know who Chris D'Elia is? And I was like, yeah, he's a good friend. She was like, oh, he just messaged me on Facebook. I've never met him. And he said he's going to be in town and wants to know if I want to hang out. Is he cool? And I was like, oh, yeah, he's a good guy. I don't know how he found you on Facebook, but.
But I mean, he doesn't brag about it.
No, no, not at all.
I think the ones who brag about it are the ones who are either lying or, you know.
Or not getting any.
Yeah, it's not quite as good as they, you know.
Oh, no, not at all.
It's like the guys with the biggest dicks, they never brag about it.
Yeah.
Just, they know you know, so they don't have to talk about it.
See, it's like a level of priesthood inside.
Yeah.
Also, if you're in entertainment, come on, for God's sakes. Like, unless you're just completely socially retarded, you know what I mean? You're gonna hook up.
Well, yeah, but most people are socially retarded in our
world. Good point.
You know. But the good thing about having sex with other comics is, you know, once it ends, they tell other people how good it was. And it's just like a referral system.
I'd be worried about the other side of that, them saying whether it was bad.
Yeah, well, that's why you got to take care of business.
That's why you got to be Earl Skakel, so you know you're not going to get a bad review.
I mean, you know, I don't think the comics I've been lucky to venture into the covers with would get a good Yelp review.
That's hilarious.
So if there was Yelp for guys, which is called Tinder, if there was Yelp for guys, you would get good reviews?
Maybe not 100%, but I'd be like, you know, 95%.
But you can't review guys on Tinder. That would be a funny app to have, is just like a Yelp review.
Rate your
But I feel like, you might not be able to review a guy on Tinder, but you can sure sit around with your girlfriends and talk about your matches.
That's just the Comedy Store potluck.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Comedy Store is a different, whole different sexual animal, you know, and rumors system. I mean.
Well, and how was that for both of you? Because you both started comedy here in L.A. So everybody that you've worked with and grown to, you know, you end up dating. And you guys have probably, you know, had your fair share because you started here. That was like your family. Those were all your friends. And it's easier to date those people because they understand your schedule.
Yeah. I think that's a really big part of dating comics. The allure is not only are they on your same schedule, but like they understand where you want the trajectory of your career to go.
Right.
You kind of have the same goal in mind, so.
Yeah, and also when you become a comic, that becomes pretty much your entire social life.
Mm-hmm, totally.
You know, but I don't think people that, if they don't do stand-up, realize that there's times where you're gone for 8 hours. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a job.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just hitting mics in one night. Of course you're going to end up dating your coworkers.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Well, and you ran a show too, didn't you, at Hotel Cafe at one point?
Oh my God, that was so long ago. Holy shit.
So would you ever have like guy comics like hit you up for like spots that like would flirt with you?
No. Because they I mean, I'm pretty, if I like you, you know it. If I don't like you, I have no problem telling you that nothing's ever happening. I mean, I dated one comic for, you know, a year and a half plus. And, you know, after that, it was like, it's really hard to date someone in comedy and then break up with them. And then you're stuck.
Right.
Seeing them all the time. It's terrible. You're going to have to resend it to me because I don't know where it is.
Oh, my God. They're still going through the dick pics trying to send it to each other.
Oh, no. Someone was asking me the number here. And I was, you know, we might have a call.
Oh, hopefully. That's awesome.
Maybe someone from my past. Yeah.
That's me texting you.
Oh, well, that's another Matt. Oh,
that's me. I wrote Dick.
Oh, okay. Well, let me send it to you.
Thanks. I can't find it again. You're going to have to resend it.
So, but you also do acting and modeling. Have you ever met like coworkers in the industry that you've dated? Is that weird? I've never dated anybody that's a model or actor.
I'm shtepping a model actor right now.
Good for you.
Yeah, right. Here, what's you want to see a picture? Shtepping, banging.
Shtepping is Jewish.
Shtepping is Yiddish for banging. And he's extraordinarily attractive.
Really?
Yes, extraordinarily attractive. Hold on, I'll
and
show
Earl
you.
Must have gotten some good girls after bench warmers too.
Well, I wish there was a bench warmers too.
No, two is in as well.
It's a good looking guy.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I mean,
we can't see the
we
picture.
Can't put
on.
A, we can't
okay.
put his
no,
face
no, no, that's
on
fine.
It.
We can't put his face on air.
But we can show his body. Hold on.
He does have a good body.
That's the body.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's got the thing.
That's too hot for me. I'm sorry. I can't be with a guy that hot.
Yeah, no, it's insane. Every time I look at him, I'm like, what is wrong with you? No, it's gross.
It's like an Emma Stone moment, like from that Crazy Stupid Love movie when they take off their shirt. Then I'm not saying I don't have a good body, but I would just.
You have a good body.
Thank you.
And I'm not, you know, I'm being professional.
Thank you, Earl.
In the most professional sense, he thinks you have a good body.
I would just feel like that guy could, like, breathe and eat and drink before sex, and I'd be the one, like, sucking in and breathing and, like, being concerned. But guys are never that concerned, I hear, with, like, women naked. They just want a girl naked.
Yeah, guys, I don't think are that, you know.
Critical.
A woman's a pretty beautiful thing.
Right.
I mean, it depends on the guy.
Depends on the guy.
Do you care?
Well, if you're a guy that takes care of yourself, you want the other person to.
I have to have some base level of, I don't sit there and go, okay, she's got a little flab there, but, you know, I can't date a total slob.
Right.
Yeah, just have some self-respect.
Well, I mean, you know, I've been with some big women before, but, you know, but that was back when I was just.
I don't know how this all just turned to a sex podcast today.
I feel like every podcast I've ever done turns into a sex podcast.
I think it's just you, Nicole.
Yeah,
I mean,
probably.
We were talking Steeler football, and I sensed we were losing you two.
I was fading. I was going into a coma.
I don't know about fantasy football or tinkering or any of this stuff. I just know that I lose a lot of sex during fantasy football season to football.
Well, yeah, it's, you know. There's a picture.
Dude, Earl, it's insane.
That's a good picture.
You guys, oh my God. I'm already blushing and I haven't seen this picture.
Look at the moment being shared over there.
I'm doing comedy dick shot photography for you guys.
Oh my God.
Headshots.
You're doing glamour dick pics?
Double headshots.
Do you realize I'm blushing? All right, I haven't seen this picture.
It's insane.
So we're gonna switch gears. We're gonna do the first challenge since we're so interested in pictures. We're gonna play a game called Hipster or Have To. So we're gonna show
Hipster or Have To.
Yeah, we're gonna show pictures of celebrities wearing glasses, and each of you is gonna have an opportunity one by one. Amy's gonna start with the first picture. You have to tell me if this celebrity needs those glasses or if they're just trying to be a hipster.
Okay.
Oh, can we pull them up? All right, we're trying to work on it. Yeah, because basically, like, you guys wear glasses, and it's for a reason.
Did you plan this for both of us to be wearing glasses?
I already knew that. Well, why do you think it was Battle of the Spectacular?
Oh, I didn't see that part.
All right, so this is the first picture. This is Joe Jonas.
Those are hipster.
Yes. Nicole Amy's got one. Earl's up next. All right, Demi Lovato.
Hipster.
Nope, she needs them.
She needs them. You can see the prescription in them.
Yep. All right, Kelly Osbourne.
Hipster, I would say.
Yep.
Because a lens that big, you can't really get a prescription in.
Yeah, I know that.
Oh, it's the worst. People who have those really big glasses, I'm like, what? If you have more than like the most minor prescription, that's never an option.
All right, Earl, Leona Lewis.
Based on Nicole's logic, I'll go she needs them.
She does need them.
They're big frames.
those are reasonable size frames. And you can see a bit of the magnification.
All right. Nicole's up by one. Justin Bieber.
He actually needs those.
No, he does not.
No?
No.
He had pictures of himself wearing glasses when he was a little kid.
He has LASIK done. He just wears them for fun.
But he did wear glasses at some point.
He did wear as a kid, but now then he got LASIK. As an adult.
Okay, because I knew that he wore glasses as a little kid. I feel like that's like a half a point still.
Well, if it comes down to a tiebreaker, we'll give it to you.
Okay.
Earl, Andre 3000.
I would say he doesn't need them.
Nope, doesn't need them.
Rocks them super well.
But I feel
well,
like I'm cheating because I'm going off of her logic. I mean, those are some big frames.
They are some big frames.
Looks like Brian Moses.
Oh, let's roast.
All right. Scarlett Johansson.
ScarJo, those are, she doesn't need them.
Nope, she
those
doesn't.
Those are huge.
3 points. She's still up by one. All right, Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, I'm going to go she doesn't need them.
No, she doesn't.
God damn, those are like Harry Carey glasses.
It's like in what?
She looks really good there, but that must be a really old photo.
Yeah, but in what world would those be real glasses?
Yeah.
Her world.
Yeah. Next up, who we got?
I have to say this is pretty fun.
Yeah.
In the weirdest way imaginable.
Snooki.
Yeah, those aren't real.
No, they are
really.
Real.
Oh.
She needs them.
Oh, God.
She's reading The Power. That's the biggest joke.
I know. She needs the glasses to read The Power. All right. Justin Timberlake, Earl.
That's tough because I'm going to say he doesn't need them.
He does need them.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake has
so many.
We're tied up by three. No, we still got more because we had Zooey Deschanel. That's on there somewhere. We're tied up.
Zooey needs them.
We're tied up.
That's
well that one's yours.
That's mine.
Katy Perry.
I'm gonna go with doesn't need them.
Doesn't need them. Nicole's up by one.
A lot of pressure.
Oh, they are out of order. We should have just gone in a row. All right, Earl, Chris Brown.
I'm going to say he needs them.
No.
No, it doesn't. There's no reflective coating on it.
Small frames.
But what's funniest to me about that picture is he's a billionaire and he's wearing glasses with tape in the middle just to appear cooler that they were broken.
Yeah. And he beats women.
He broke them himself. Yeah. He was chastising himself for something.
He broke them in the event. All right, next. Nicole's still up by one.
Are you competitive?
Yeah.
So is it bugging you that I'm winning at all?
Oh, okay. I mean, I wouldn't say bugging, but...
But, like, you want to win.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You bitch.
You bitch. He's like, I already won. I got the dick pic back.
Yeah.
It's somewhere on... I did the software update, so I lost a lot of my...
That makes me feel good on my dick pics floating out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's not floating out there. It was deleted. Oh.
We are experiencing technical difficulties, so hang on with us for a second. All right. That one.
Zooey Deschanel.
Was Zooey Deschanel.
Who's that?
That was Earl's. No, Earl just guessed that one. That was yours.
Yeah. Zooey needs them.
Yes, Zooey does need them. Well, is that by two?
It's weird how much I know about glasses.
Well, we only had two more left, which means if I give Earl one more and he gets it, then you'd win anyway.
Yeah, so I lost.
So Nicole Amy won this match.
You're a good woman.
Good job.
Yeah, congrats.
Now, I want to ask you both because you guys have worked with some really good comedians that I haven't had the pleasure of working with. I think it's amazing. You guys were both on, actually, Sam Tripoli's Naughty Show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was that about? I haven't seen it. I haven't heard much about it. I know a lot of comics that did it.
I did it so long ago. I had done it when I, maybe like a year into comedy.
Really?
Yeah, I wore a schoolgirl outfit and he wanted me to hook up with, he wanted me to be a random girl in the audience. I was planted.
Really?
To be a random girl in the audience who was just like a super fan of one of the porn stars.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I was actually a fan of that porn star. I can't even remember who it was.
Lexington Steele?
No. God, it wasn't.
Is it a guy or girl?
Girl.
Oh.
I have not lived a full life. They know porn stars' names. They've gotten to dress up like schoolgirls and almost kiss porn stars.
Porn stars are great. I was almost set up on a date with a porn star once.
Isn't that a lot of like lead up? Like to date?
Well, my friend was like, all right, just don't Google him. I'm like, what? Why would I not Google him? That is like the most Googleable person ever.
Right.
So I Googled him and then I was like, I'm not. Boom. He did a little too much kissing in his porns. It was weird.
So you're not a kisser during
sex?
No,
I'm a kisser, but just, I don't think porn stars should be kissing.
Oh, true.
Like, that's so fake.
I love that.
Like,
how
I get
like,
it. Oh. It's already the fakest scenario ever, but, I mean, maybe not ever, but it's a pretty fake scenario. But it's like, no one's watching porn for emotional connection. Really?
I'm joking. I'm kidding.
Because if you want a perverse emotional connection, just find like old video footage of John Candy eating a sandwich.
I just watch Disney movies. That's where I get my emotional connection. What did you do on the Naughty Show?
I just did, I think it was the Lorenzo Lamas roast. And, you know, I just did stand up and roasted Lorenzo Lamas.
He's actually a really nice guy.
Yeah,
he was a good sport. Like, you know, everyone's talking about how his wife, who was there, his current wife, is a whore. And I think it was that new one.
Oh, what's her name? Oh, no, not Shauna. It's a...
Really nice, huge.
Yeah, really nice, huge, gorgeous girl.
And everyone's making
nice
fun
girl.
Of him.
But she doesn't got Nicole Amy's booty.
No. I don't know who does. I've seen it. She's been in my pool before. We did nothing.
We did nothing.
It was a hot day, her and her friend.
Gentlemen.
I actually, Earl, you are definitely one of my favorite male comedians. You're like, as a person, you're like a really good dude.
Well, I try and be, you know.
Aww. High five to Earl for being awesome and gentlemanly and worldly and rockish.
Sometimes that niceness bites you in the ass, but, you know.
Earl knew. I've actually known Earl since college. Not, we weren't friends, but if my best friend in college knew him.
You went to University of Michigan as well?
No, I didn't. I messed around in college out here, but never really graduated.
Oh, okay.
But my friend met his best friend on vacation.
What? That is so random.
Yeah, and then he was this sleazy agent. And my friend was like, I'm going to go out and see him. He really likes me. I'm like, he doesn't really like you.
You're like, he likes my
booty. He just likes 18-year-old ass is what he likes. Anyway, so she flew out to L.A. to hook up with this agent guy. And the agent guy was just like, not having it, my friend being there. So Earl took care of her the whole time she was here.
Aww,
didn't touch
Earl.
Her.
Didn't touch her. But that's where we got the nickname Earl the Pearl. That's why I call them Pearl the Pearl.
Because you're such a pearl. Mm-hmm.
I don't touch other guys' women.
That is, so. I love that. Because I will not touch another man, another woman's man.
I won't either.
Or man's woman,
that's,
whatever.
That's just a certain level of respect for people in general.
Yeah.
I won't even touch someone's ex-girlfriend. Like, it's
really?
Dude, if you especially if you know the guy. Oh. Holy, there's no way, dude.
Because I think if you do, that your friend will always have it in his head, oh, you wanted to do something all along.
Like, the whole entire time.
So
it's not only that. Like, I would never want my buddy to do that to me.
Yeah.
You know? It's, oh.
Well, not a lot of people think like
that. Well, then your tunnel buddies, too.
See, and that's so weird because your podcast is called Inappropriate Earl, but you're so appropriate.
Well, I think there's a certain guy code that I follow, and, you know.
I wish that girls would follow a girl code.
You know. Well, I mean, a lot do. I mean,
you have a lot of good girlfriends, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, I hear a lot of stories, and even my good girlfriends. Like, I have one girlfriend who sleeps with a married dude.
Oh.
And I'm like, you're fucking terrible. You're a horrible person. I mean, I still love her. Like, she's still a great friend to me. But I'm like, just so you know, like, what you're doing is abhorrent.
I couldn't do that. I was married when I was 24, and I got a divorce because my ex-husband did cheat on me with his boss.
God, that's so crazy to
me. Yeah, I had just gotten over a surgery for cancer, like female body type cancer, and couldn't have sex for like 6 months, and he cheated on me during that time. So I could never do that to a woman. I feel like that marriage is sacred. And if it's going to end, it's not going to end because of me.
Yeah, totally. That's
who would want that karma on themselves?
That's what I say. I keep telling my friend, I'm like, she's like, I just want to meet a great guy. But in the meantime, I'm going to sleep with this married guy. I'm like, do you understand that karma?
this motion that he was.
It's his thought. He's bouncing his leg.
Oh.
Which is so weird because my dad bounced. You're like, go on about your friend who sleeps with Mary.
Oh, yeah. How big are her tits?
Tell me about her karma. Is her karma big?
Is her karma big?
Oh, God, her slutty little karma.
Is it real karma or is it fake karma? Is it real karma or is it fake karma?
Oh, God.
Does she wax her karma? That's hilarious.
Don't stop.
Oh, my God. So Chris, you're looking really creepy right now.
Chris is a good-looking dude, though.
Chris is
very Chris is a very handsome guy. You're a handsome guy,
I'm
Chris.
Seeing a teacher right now, so sorry, Nikki. Oh,
sorry, Nikki. Thank you. I have a boyfriend.
You're seeing a teacher right now?
Just kidding.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah, she's a kindergarten teacher.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, it's really sweet. I just don't like dating girls in show business at all. You know, because I don't know. Anyway, back to you guys.
It's hard dating somebody in the business, you know? It's hard. It's like, then you take the risk of like some person's rising at a different level than you are. And then
I've never been concerned with that though.
But a lot of people are. A lot of people are concerned with that. But it's not necessarily like you're being competitive with one another. But it's, you know, it's the kind of thing where I think, I mean, at least for me, when I was dating a guy in the business, it was like, oh, okay, you're rising at a different rate than I am. And you're going to meet girls when you're at that different echelon because I'm not at that level. But
that's a trust thing, though.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, your mind fucks with you.
I've only dated guys that were in the industry. I've really since I've lived in LA, I've had some pretty solid relationships with comics that I'm still friends with. I've never had any bad breakups, but it was easy because it was people that I worked with or wrote with. And I've never really had a bad breakup.
You're still dating that guy, right?
Rob.
Yeah.
DeRocha.
Roberto.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good man.
Yeah, yes. Really nice guy.
Very nice guy.
And I'm going to beat him this week in fantasy football.
Yes,
I just want everyone to know.
Like when I met you, I was dating one of your best friends, Brady, uh-huh. Brady Matthews,
yeah.
Who is also really nice. And we're still really close. You give things shots, you know, and uh-huh. If you're an adult in the industry, you're able to, you know, separate and still yeah. work with people and it's fine.
Yeah.
And you really never have that, you know, that negative feeling towards somebody like, yeah. Oh, they ruined it or they could have had me and it would have been fantastic. Yeah. I'm just trying to be happy.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
And not have to date a porn star.
Or take medication.
Or take medication. So I want to know about your character, too, at the comedy reel battle.
The roast battle.
The roast battle.
Yeah, yeah. Me and this girl, Whitney, we play the house racist. Comic. Oh, she's great.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to be huge in this business.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
She's just certain people that you just know, and you just know with her that she's
has a presence, and she reminds, like, I think you and Whitney would work really good together, Nicole, because you guys do these characters on Vine and Instagram that are just hilarious. I can't do what you guys do. I'm not an actor. I can't take on a persona the way you guys do, and you guys crack me up. It's hilarious.
I love Whitney. She's great.
You guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's...
Her Lana Del Rey is amazing.
Spot on.
It's insane. It creeps me out.
A little bit, yeah. And, just the characters that you guys play.
I've been working on this Rachel Maddow.
Uh-huh.
I've been working on a Rachel
That's
Maddow.
That's funny.
Because everyone says I look like Rachel Maddow.
A little bit.
I don't know why, but anyways.
You're way hotter than she is, for sure. Way.
I can.
But I can see you pulling it off.
Anyway, so, you know, it's an impression. I watch a lot of YouTube clips of her, and I want to do an interview with Rachel Maddow and Lana Del Rey where I just start, like, hitting on her, and I'm like... Hey.
Oh my gosh, that would be hilarious. I would post that and shove it down everybody's throat because it would be amazing.
Cool. I like it.
I've never had any lookalikes. I've been told I look like Michelle Rodriguez, and that's about it.
I see that.
Yeah, but I think that's just because I played softball and I have more of a tomboy vibe.
Yeah.
But that's about it. But you guys play this white couple in a whites only section.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys just do white commentary back, and it's hilarious.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, the humor's not for everybody. But.
I think it's playful and fun. It's not really who you guys are. It's a character.
Oh, not at all. I mean, we try and do it so over the top, you couldn't quite possibly think it's real. And it's based on someone in particular.
Yeah. You're not allowed to say
it. I can't really.
That's fine.
You know, I think if you are familiar.
If you said it might be slander.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. But I don't even think this person could sue me because even they know it's real. But,
right.
you know, it's a character of a character.
Right.
And, you know, the black comics in the room and really the black people in the room laugh the loudest.
So. Oh, yeah.
I mean, last night, Whitney dropped a joke that was pretty on the line.
Really?
If not over the line. And there were these three black women right next to us.
Oh,
and they
no.
peed in their pants.
Oh, that's awesome.
Who was in the battle last night?
Last night it was Jerron Horton and Willie Hunter,
uh-huh.
two black comics who work at the store.
Uh-huh.
So, and Brian Moses is the host.
I thought Jason Rouse was battling last night.
He did like an undercard.
Oh, who'd he go up against?
Nate Craig.
How'd that go?
Wow.
I don't think Jason's a super funny guy.
Yeah.
One of the funniest people I know, but I don't think he understood the roast is, you know, you have to watch it before you do it, I think.
Right.
Because it's three rounds, and Jason only thought it was one round. So they did the first round, then he was like a little lost.
Yeah.
So it's.
But you guys come up with the comments like off the top of your head. Whitney had one where she was like, I don't even use crayons because nothing should be colored.
Yeah. And then, Leslie Jones, who was one of the celebrity judges, once said jokingly, shut up, you white bitch.
Yeah.
And Whitney instantly said, hey, I loved you on the cover of National Geographic.
That's funny.
And standing ovation.
Well, we have one more challenge so Earl can at least try to get some gusto back. Nicole, you're already the winner, but this is the fun challenge.
Born a winner.
And I knew this one would be right up your alley. So we're going to play Spotless Specs. So there is a microfiber cloth for you, one for you. You each get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cleansing wipes for your glasses.
Oh, great.
And the fun part is I'm going to take your specs and put a dab of whipped cream on them.
Okay.
And the person that gets it off the fastest and puts their glasses on wins.
Oh. Okay. All right, let's do this.
This is going to be fun.
Hilarious.
Okay, hand those back to Nicole.
Sweet.
I am putting Ready Whip on both of their glasses. This is going to be fun.
Wait, she's starting.
Well, you can't start.
We can get it out.
You can get your first wipe out,
okay,
at least.
Okay, thank you.
We'll give Earl one more chance.
How do you open these things?
Oh, yeah. If we didn't start that way, help him out.
Well, Earl probably can't even see this.
Oh, without his glasses on.
Earl has the worst astigmatism I've ever seen on a human being.
It's awful.
It's epic.
Okay. You guys ready to start?
Yeah.
You almost there?
I'm ready.
Ready?
Yeah.
You just tell us when to go.
Okay. I'm going to go 3, 2, 1, go. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
I think she wins.
Jesus. Nicole just licked the whipped cream right off. Fuck. Oh my gosh, this is so funny. Just spit on it, Earl. Just spit on it.
Just like a dick.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, go. She got it. Yours is all hazy, Earl. All right. Well, we got to give it up to our winner of Battle of the Sexes, round 10.
Sorry,
Nicole,
guys.
Amy. Woo! Taking it home for the girls. You gave the girls a good commanding lead in Battle of the Sexes.
I mean, I don't think this shit is ever coming off, honestly.
And thank you to Earl Skakel.
Thank you for
being here.
I love you guys.
Thank you for promoting the dip pick. And Nicole,
oh, no problem.
Thank you for coming back and licking whipped cream off your glasses to give our guys... You guys, this is Battle of the Sexes. I'm Nikki Bernal. Thank you to our fill-in host, Chris Dunham. Ooh. Dave Swan will be back
Where's
next
Swanee?
Week. He is in Cleveland, and he will be back next week. Thank you, Skid Row Studios, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.